this morning for another opportunity to fellowship around your word. We ask and receive revelation in your Son Jesus this morning. Let every mind be fully established in what you have done, what you are doing, and what we can do through you. Let all minds be focused on Christ, and we behold glory. Amen. So I say the greater glory. Look at Genesis 49 verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We have looked at that text, and we have said God wasn't calling for a gathering, he was talking about faith. That is, Jacob, as a prophet, was prophesying about faith in Christ in all the nations. And so we did some earlier study this morning, and the first service, and looked at where is the Spirit of God. And then we said the Spirit of God is in us. God is in us, not amongst us. What happens amongst us is what we do. But God is in us. We were able to establish that. So we look at a couple of things quickly. We also mentioned that we must not gather together having a mentality of the temple. In the temple, they went to meet God. We said God didn't ask anyone to build a temple. They went to meet God in the temple. And so there was God in their consciousness, someone you go to meet in a place. And so when Jesus came, he said to the woman at the well, he said, you will neither have to go to Jerusalem nor come to this place to worship the Father. He says, the hour comes and those who worship will be in the Spirit, which already shows you it's not in a place. It's in the Spirit, which is the truth. And so we said that obviously, because God is a spirit, Jesus was telling them God is a spirit. He sure can be in this mountain locked up here or in that temple. God is a spirit. And so those that worship him will do it in the spirit, which is in reality. So we said the temple couldn't have been for worship. The temple was a way to symbolize what Jesus will do for humanity. Now quickly, let's examine something I left out in the morning, the first service. So, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, God, the Father, is in us. He's in us. He's not amongst us. I would say this earlier in the morning, that the presence of God, or what we call just the presence of God, is not an atmosphere that we feel, you know. So the way I feel the presence of God. And those are the kind of things that take us away from the reality. The presence of God, the person of God, is in us. What we feel is our response. So there's nothing called a strong presence of God. It's nothing like that. What you have either would be people's responses to the things of the Spirit. Most likely. So we said that in the morning. I'm just reviewing things we said earlier in the morning. And so we now finally started looking at Acts 2. And we said Jesus gave them instructions because God, allow me to say this, God is waiting on us, not that we should wait on him. So Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem. And then in Acts 2, 1 to 4, we saw it and we're going to also look at it again. That when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we were all in one place, in one accord. We're in one place. And there suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, verse 3, and it sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we said, all of them function the same. That means everybody in that place that day, 0120, they spoke. Not just that they spoke, they heard. Not only that they heard, they also saw. But he said there appeared unto them, is the Greek word optasia. That means just like a vision. Everybody in there saw something, they saw an appearance. Cloven tongues like as of fire. And also he says that, and then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2, verse 4. And so, it's important to know that everyone in the church, in a church service, born again. Everyone can see things in the Spirit, and everyone can hear things in the Spirit. It's not supposed to be a special feature of the service where the great man of God, the one sent down from glory, begins to show us the things of God. And so we begin to clap. Oh, oh. Have you ever seen sometimes a preacher will lay hands on people? Maybe some have, maybe they rejoice or they fall, and then people begin to clap. Those are the kind of things. Brother Hagin wrote a book, The Greater Glory, Greater Glory, which, you know, also influenced a couple of things I'm saying. And he mentioned there are some attitudes, we're going to see a few now, that we do. One of them that he taught was clapping. So, clapping. Why do we clap? You can't clap for a beat if the drum is playing. Clapping is applause. We're not taught to applaud. When the music team sings or someone should sing and ministers to you, you don't applaud. It's not entertaining. You receive or you join in. We don't applaud. And you know very well that in the Bible, clapping was never used for praise. I taught you that over and over again. I've explained Psalm 40:17. Clapping was never used for praise. In fact, it doesn't exist from Matthew to the book of Revelation. In the Old Testament, clapping was used to mock people, to jeer at people, to make fun, to deride people in the Old Testament. You know that. Explain that to you. So, those are the kind of irreverent things. The music team or someone ministers to us in songs and we clap. What are we clapping about? We're clapping to what? To what? What's it about? So we're in top line. So we have some things we need to change in our perspective on how we handle things when we come together. So very, very vitally, and I'll repeat myself, is that we shouldn't have a temple mentality. Again, don't forget, we said on the day of Pentecost, everybody. And I asked a question in the morning. Is it because of the size of the number that as they increase, God exhausts His power? No. It's because that number was probably small enough to be instructed and taught, just like Jesus taught them, and then they responded. So we must see it that way, that God's mind is for all of us to function in the things of the Spirit. Let me repeat myself, and I've said this many times. There is no gift of the Spirit that I have that you don't have. You're a believer. Any believer here? Let me see your hand. You're born again? Let me see. You're born again? Raise your hand. Let me see. Come on, raise your hand. Some of you don't. Raise your hand. You're born again. I'm born again. Do you know there is no gift of the Spirit that I have that Paul had? Should I say Paul had or Paul has? Now, Paul has, present tense, that you don't have. There's none. Hallelujah. On the Pentecost, all of them function the same way. They all saw, they all heard, they all spoke. So, notice that everybody. Why could everybody function the same way? Because it's the same Spirit. Some say the same Spirit. Some say the same Spirit. Say it again, the same Spirit. And so, that's important that we don't, you know, one of the things we've done here is to say we don't come to God. We come into your presence. We pass the gates of praise. Come into your presence. Presence is the service. Pass the gates of praise. In your sanctuary, we hold you face to face. Look upon your countenance. To the fullness of your grace, I can only bow down and say, you are handsome, sir, you are awesome in this place. Somebody actually said, you are handsome. Mighty God. What about singing it like this? You are awesome in my life. Because it's the awesomeness that he has in you that we see when we come together. Praise the Lord. So, remove the temple mentality that you need to go to God. You had to go to God just once, or maybe say he came to you once. What you do henceforth is that you practice his presence. Someone say practice his presence. You don't go in it, doesn't come to you. You practice his presence. That's what you do. You practice the things of the Spirit. You practice the glory of God. So the glory of God and the Spirit of God is no longer for an experience that will happen to us. It's a practice that we engage in. Do I ever forget that? So, one more time, we said the temple can be a building. God's household and house can be a property. It has to be in man because that's what Jesus told us. So one of the things we said last week, I remember, was our songs. You remember that? Remember that? Our songs are one of the ways we practice the things of the Spirit. So we must watch what we sing. Because your songs register on your mind. Register on your mind. And you must be careful the way you use words. I remember someone was trying to explain grace last year. And the person said that some people just know about grace for forgiveness of sins. There's also grace that empowers you to live right. You know, I guess, well, you're a bit confused. And so one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons why we actually release our book, Hypergrace Gospel of Christ. So you understand. And not, you know, say things the wrong way. Because by the time someone now has a problem in his conduct, that will mean the grace was not sufficient. That's what you're trying to say. Now, many folks can't even explain what spiritual growth is. So, the use of words are important because they register in your mind. For example, if you understand, say, let the Spirit of the Lord come down. From where? Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Hallelujah. That, some of you make it worse. You got said from the roof, it makes sense. From heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Hallelujah. Now, you know, as they sing like that, the expectation is where? Come down. What about a guy that now sings differently. And they'll be waiting. They'll be waiting. Lord! Lord! Lord, manifest your power! Manifest your power! And then you find some other person. He sings differently. He says, for example, I know you're inside me. I know you're in this new creation. And I know you abide on the inside of your children. So I lift my hands and I lift my voice and I offer up praise unto your name. Are they sung the same thing? No. Would their expectation be the same? No. So we must correct how we sing because it has an impression on our soul, on our minds. Hebrews 13:15, we looked at that last week. Therefore by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips continually, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. We said the word giving thanks is the word homologio. Fruit of our lips, sacrifice of praise. The word praise, inesis, said last week. It means to command. To command. So if there's praise, praise will always be for who Jesus is or what he has done. You can't praise him for evil. You can't praise him for forgiving you yesterday. You can't praise him for giving you forgiveness today because that's not him. But you can praise him for forgiving you before you were born. Because that's what he did. Hallelujah. You can praise him. You can praise him for what he has done. So you can't use anesis except it's for something that has happened. Also, we said the word acknowledging his name is a Greek word homologia, confession. Confession, Hebrews 13. Confession. Now, the word confession is to say something in two places. To say it in your heart and in your mouth. In other words, the word confession deals with your conviction. What you're convinced about. Now, notice Hebrews 13:15. It says, sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. Now, look at where the same word confessing was used in Hebrews. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Look at that. The apostle and high priest of our confession. That means our confession must be what he did. What he did. We don't confess sins. Because that's not what he did. We'll confess what he did to sins. Our confession. It says the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Seeing that we have an high priest pass under the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. In other words, what he has done. What did he go in heaven to do? He went to heaven. You know, he went in the heaven to purge our consciences from dead works. What was the result of Jesus going in the heaven in the spirit? It's you and I, we have been perfected forever. So if he says, hold fast our confession, that means I will consistently say what he has done for me, in me. I'll hold fast to it. Like how Pastor Tok says it. He says, the Bible says, hold fast. It means something can take it from you. So you must hold fast in spite of every circumstance. You will say in praise what God has done for you, in you, in Christ. Same thing, Hebrews 10:23. And notice that every time he talks about confession, there is this slant of boldness and freedom of speech. In fact, in Hebrews 4:15, he says to the unbeliever, 4:16, he says, therefore let us come boldly before the throne of grace. That's not a believer. That's the unbeliever. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may receive grace and find mercy and help in time of need. That's the unbeliever. The believer does not come. The believer has come. Every time you let us come in the book of Hebrews is an invitation to salvation. But every time when he's talking to the believer, Hebrews 12:22 says, we are come unto Zion. Say, we have come. So when you let us come, that's an invitation to fellowship with God. Are we in church? That must be our consciousness. So we mustn't have, let me come. I must know that I have come. Say, I have come. So my songs must commend that. Who made me come? He made me come. My songs must commend the fact that I have come. Sacrifice of praise. Fruit of our lips. Confessing what he has done. We say what he has done. Imagine if we do that in our praise, we'll see the glory of God in more demonstration. I say it more times. Most of what we see in some churches, I've not been in many, is basically like the law of Moses. Everybody comes to see somebody who they believe God has blessings with for them. So we come and that's why when we advertise church services, we say ministry, Reverend Brother Pastor Jakes, alongside other anointed men of God. You know, you don't have the word anointed men of God in the epistles because we don't function in the Old Testament. But let's leave that for today. So you say another anointed men of God or servants of God. And so in our minds, we come to them. Within they have the glory of God. They have the power of God. So we come to them. And you see, that was demonstrated under the law. And Moses himself said it. You know, one time that in Numbers 11, when they Moses was going to choose 70 elders. And then he chose them. And then he was supposed to gather with them in the tabernacle, and then the Spirit of God would be on them. And two of them held at a mood that were not there, held with a mood that were not in that tabernacle. And so Joshua went to tell Moses, hey, tell them that they're not here, but they are prophesying outside the tabernacle. Because in his mind, Joshua felt God was in the place. And Moses said, don't stop them. Would to God that all his people be prophets. Hallelujah. Two things. Number one, prophesying and speaking by the Spirit was not unique to anyone. Number two, he wasn't in a place. Because, you know, Joshua felt they're not in the tabernacle. Why can't they prophesy? Moses knew why he gave them tabernacle. So he knew the tabernacle didn't work. It couldn't work. So we still have that mentality. Imagine if someone calls you now and says, I just want someone to pray with me. Say, somehow in your mind you say, let me give you my pastor's number. He has a direct line to the Father. My own, I still go through operators. But he talks directly. He has a speed dial in his spirit that reaches the Father. Do you know why you normally ask people to be ministered to by others? It's called sin consciousness. You have an unworthiness about you. I say this is the reason I must emphasize this. It's because of this lack of understanding. Why when pastors and ministers that we respect, when they have human errors, we feel disappointed. It is still sin consciousness. We feel they are not like us. Or they should not be like us. So you call, you say, you know what? Let me text you the number of social and so. It seems there's an unworthiness consciousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know we don't do that here. I'm just saying why people do it. Say, don't worry. I'll book an appointment with Pastor. Pastor, the anointing on his life. Jesus has never slept. You have an unworthiness consciousness. Hallelujah. Sometimes we ask people, have you seen on campus fellowships, say the next president is so so and so person. The guy begins to cry. I didn't know that. It's not true. Give him 1 week. He's already given instruction. You. Hypocrisy is a bastard. Hallelujah. You get it? So sometimes it's just many times an unworthiness consciousness. Have you ever wanted to lay hands on someone and then some thoughts flood your mind? They now tell the person, amen, amen. You just stop. Say, amen. The Lord is faithful and all that. It's not everything that he does immediately. When you do, you're voicing out your sense of unworthiness. Hallelujah. If I ask you now, come and give a tongue interpretation, you will say, eh? Say, you, come. Where, sir? Here. You just stop. In your mind, you said, shit. You now say, the Lord is saying now, I am with you. So that's a very consistent prophecy. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Consistent word of prophecy. Don't be afraid. No matter what you are going through, that's what you call an answering machine. Spiritual answering machine. So, Lord is saying, there are some challenges you are facing. Who is not facing challenges? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I said, don't be afraid. I'm not joking, this professor. But I'm saying so that you think I'm making it up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Tell me, don't you think? But sometimes, I know you can feel like you want to be afraid, because sometimes me too, I'm afraid. You know? Hallelujah. And what he says I am. Let's see what we are. 2 Corinthians 3. I have no sense of unworthiness. Praise God. When you feel that way, now get it wrong. If you've done wrong, right, walk in the flesh, and you're about to minister, and now if you've done wrong and you know you've done wrong, the only thing that the Spirit of God will point out to you is the correction. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. You must know the distinction. I've done this explanation to you before, the difference between correction and fault finding. Remember that? Remember that? Okay, so he corrects you. But you see, you must know the difference. Any correction that does not have assurance is not from the Spirit of God. For example, you're about to minister, and then the thought comes. You smoked last night. Now, you know, smoking is not a sin. Don't look at me somehow. Smoking cigarette is not a sin. Do you have a verse for it? There's none. Were they smoking in those days? Find out. But can it lead to sin? Yes. I got you somewhere there. Yes. It's just like eating food to idols is not a sin, but it can lead to sin. Amen. What's that teaching again? And you call yourself a Christian. Go and get it. And you call yourself a Christian. We dealt with those kind of things that are just conscience issues. Smoking, drinking alcohol. So guys, alcohol is a sin. Nope. It's not true. Amen. It is not true. Jesus turned water to wine. Some say, grape wine. That's good. Fruit wine. No, mango juice. When Paul was talking to them in Corinth, he said, some of you get drunk because others are not drinking. Have you ever read that before? You skip, your eyes keep it. I'm telling you. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't drink alcohol. And I don't smoke. Do you want to hear it again? I don't drink alcohol. And I don't smoke. You know, some people go and do evangelism, and they say, guy, we start there. And their whole focus is the there. You know, there are things we do, and God is not happy in evangelism. There are things we do, and you know, God loves us. He doesn't want us to do those things that will make him angry. My brother, you know, I can see these things you are drinking. Would you allow one bottle to send you to eternal destruction? Who sent you to say all this? Hallelujah. You know, some of us cannot focus on Christ in preaching. We must focus on the person. I can see your hairstyle. You have a ring. You know, our body is the temple of unbeliever. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We must not pierce our body. Because God will destroy anybody who destroys his body. Sorry, your body. So don't forget, there's a difference between correction and fault. Correction leaves you assured. Fault finding leaves you unworthy. So when you're about to minister and that thought comes to your mind, that's not the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God will point out to you when you want to minister is you are able. Hallelujah. You get that? 2 Corinthians 3. Say, I am not unworthy at any time. Say it like you mean, say, I am not unworthy. At any time. That's an absolute statement. That's an absolute statement. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Oh, let's start from 5, yeah. Let's take it together. 5, let's go. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Glory to God. Don't say, well, I didn't pray yesterday. You know, they just called to come and cast out the demon. You just remember that. You have not done devotion since the last 2 days. Say, sir, can this demon wait till next week? Can this demon just, tell this demon, just wait. Don't destroy the person, just wait. Next week, I'll be ready. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. God is not the one who uses your prayer. You are the one who uses it. He doesn't say, I can't use prayer. There's no prayer to use. What can I do now? See, our sufficiency is of God. Say, my sufficiency is of God. My sufficiency is of God. Look at the next verse. Who has made us what? See, he repeats the word 3 times. The word able is sufficient. Able ministers of the New Testament. Say, I'm an able minister. Oh, raise one hand. Say, I am an able minister. I minister the Spirit. So, I am able. Don't say, I don't say I'm able. Don't let God fire me with thunder. It's God that is able. We know. Our sufficiency is of God. Who has made us able? So, what has He made you? So, what are you? Let's take it again. What has He made you? So what are you? What has He made you? So what are you? So if they say, who are you? You say, I am an able minister. I'm equipped. I'm strengthened by the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm able. So the minute you have a sense of unworthiness, that means you are thinking of yourself. But our sufficiency is not of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Hallelujah. You know how you should do deliverance? Don't look at me like that. Read deliverance. Oh. The one that got my attention was one day. We went to cast out the devil for one sister. It's always, most of them are always sisters. And the reason is that if you have long hair, it's a problem. If you are too fine, it's a problem. If you're... I told one of the guys in our team one day, I said, yeah, I like long hair. All these ones that we are always casting out demons from long hair. I think it's just the deliverers just like it. So I just noticed from 1 o'clock, 6, I was saying, come out. Of course, I was a junior deliverer, so I was watching. Come out, loser. And I discovered that the people that were stressed were the people delivering. By 6, the demon had not left. So then I told the sister, that's come on. You are holding on. Free yourself. This is nonsense. As a senior in secondary school, a senior worth his salt. When he said, one boy, the whole hostel will say, yes, please. God will say, one boy. Some people are even more cruel. Egbon Asha was in upper 6 when I was in form 1. He would say, one God, you will answer with confidence. Yes, please. And I know how they say, come here. All of them told me, say, he's very hungry. He wants sugar. No, CMS, complex milk and sugar. And we all brought it in his presence. Different modules. You know, you have, what do you call it? Cube. You have, and you know, I brought cube. He gave me dirty smile. He said, you want to stress me? I mean, that is, come here. So if a senior, whose seniority is time bound, that's why when they leave, you wait for them to come and collect their results. Did you ever do that? Say, he said, he's around. But then he go and shout, we so feared him. We planned that when he came, when he comes back, we're going to do something. When he came back, we're all greeting him. The fear is much. So I imagine you, how long can you be 6 hours? Come on, go. Something is wrong. Ordinary senior. Sit down. Who born you? You will sit down seated. A senior told me one time, he said, why are you always frowning? I said, it's my nature. So why don't you smile? I said, that's how I was born. He said, I will make your life miserable. By the time he was through with me, he said, begin to smile. I said, to laugh, all kind of laugh. He said, no, that's not strong enough. I said, how can you now be casting out the devil for 6 hours? Somebody is oppressed. It's not the devil. And you are the one sweating. They will sweat. They'll be taking coke. And say, don't worry. We'll deal with it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory, glory, glory. Imagine somebody was trying to cast out the devil. And the demon spoke out. You did so, so, and so. He said, shut up your mouth. Just now, this one understands the word. Don't say, yeah, I did. Don't tell anybody. Whose business is it if you sing? The devil. Who is he in the scheme of things? It's not important. Satan must not know I did it. What if he knows? What will happen? What would he do? Satan is defeated. Absolutely. Hallelujah. In fact, tell him. So you can see, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. The only thing he can do is to accuse you. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of our testimony. So you must never feel insufficient funds. This is over at ATM. You think he comes and say, okay, what is happening? This is coming out. We are sufficient in His sufficiency. We have no sufficiency in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Say, God is my sufficiency. Praise God. That means we don't run out of supply. Say, we don't run out of supply. You know, it's good to pray. We pray a lot in church, and I pray. But don't depend. Don't look at prayer like the password. It's not true. Prayer is you exercising the authority. If the authority never existed, prayer makes no difference. The reason why prayer is effective is because you are the one praying. Prayer on itself has no power in itself. Prayer becomes effective because of who you are. Because of what you have. So in prayer, you are exercising your rights. So don't use the prayer like a crutch you are standing on. No. The prayer is an expression of your inheritance, of your rights and privileges. Are you following what I'm saying here? Same as fasting. Self-discipline. So, the fact is this, whatever we do is a practice of what we have. We are sufficient. Hallelujah. Say, I am sufficient. Say, I am sufficient. I remember one time I was going to teach this. I guess this year I may explain this a bit. I was going to teach this in 1997. So I was teaching them how to grow hands, limbs. So they thought I was going to be the one to do it. So I said, you! Huh? And everybody was saying, glory, glory! I said, now let's do practical. You! You! I may call you today. Say, you! Sir! Come! I know we're not much when it was a primary school. So, not big. Everybody was there. We're looking at ourselves. Say, you are going to do this. Say, sir. Say, you know what? I'll help you. I'll tell you what to say. Say, sir. So he laid hands. No, it was a deaf person. No, it was a deaf person. Stone cold. Stone deaf. Say, put your hands there. Just say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I said, say it again. Now, I said, speak into the air. I said, be open. Say after me, be open. Be open. Be open. I said, calm down. Say it again. Did it. I said, check. I said, check. The guy did like this. As he did that, this guy was afraid. But as he looked at me, he said, at least we are failures together. So the awareness was so strong, I said, do it again. Hallelujah. Jesus once laid hands on someone. The guy saw men as cheese. He laid hands again. Amen. So do it again. Now test it. And the guy began to hear. See, and the guy said, glory! The unworthiness you had in your mind will make the whole world go deaf. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Hallelujah. I'm an able minister. So anything that makes you feel insufficient is sin consciousness. Why you have to ask someone to pray for somebody else is insufficient, is sin consciousness. Amen. You can pray yourself. You can lay hands yourself. You can minister by yourself. Hallelujah. Do you know the reason why many of us don't function in the things of the Spirit? We don't even expect them to walk through us. We don't. It's unworthiness consciousness. And we have to take it out of our minds. Amen. I said amen. So what the word says I am. See, I'm what the word says I am. So go to John 14. Where is the glory of God? John 14. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. Giving us your Spirit and your work on earth. Look at John 14. We saw that in the first service. And I'll pray the Father verse 16, and he will give you another comforter that you may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, and he dwells with you and shall be where? So the glory of God is within. Say the glory of God is within. He's not in wearing suits. Some people wear white. That's though. You can wear your jeans. Amen. One church I missed in Southern Africa years ago. When I knew, I just wanted to be rascally. And I knew they were a casco church. You know what casco is? Conservative. No earring. So I went there in jeans. All jeans. I mean, all. I look funny. You want to say that? And in those days, you know, I didn't have to have, I used to have low cuts. It used to be, you didn't know me then. Did you ever know me? You made that part of the court. So I went there. The bishop was really angry. Is it my clothes that you need or who I am? I'm an able minister. You can wear all the suit and all the collar if there's no Holy Ghost. Not. Hallelujah. And you can be in your Arsenal jersey. You think I'll say Chelsea? Call for Pibati. I almost said just you. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. You know, and you can. You can finish playing football. And then somebody says, there's someone there. I don't say, ha, I just finished playing football. Can you give me 6 hours? I'll need to rev up, then pray. After I finish praying, then I'll be set to minister. Something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. The power didn't come because we pray. The power came because we are saved. If there's no power, the prayer is useless. It's because there's power. That's why the prayer is effective. Hallelujah. Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour. That means they had not prayed. They were going to them in the hour of prayer. That means they had not prayed. And expected to receive something. They said, silver and gold have we not. They said, wait for us. Let's finish prayer. Such as I have, I give to you. Say, such as I have. I have the things of the Spirit. I have them now. I am sufficient. God is my sufficiency. Hallelujah. Male and female. Amen. No, there's a way we also have, see a female and you think they are for singing. You know, it takes you a while to see a woman teaching and you really want to receive. If you're an African person. Don't lie.
We know ourselves. Listen.
Who does this thing she's talking to? Well, saying, women must not minister. I said, minister exactly what? Women are not permitted to teach. Or to teach men or to speak to men. I said, hey, that's serious. What about evangelism? And discipleship. What about singing? Because when you are singing, he says, teaching yourselves in hands. So that means the women will face the women and lay choruses. On the last. I said, how? Paul said, when you come together and all of you have a psalm, how do we do it? You just say, wait, oh, my love, no. Women? Men? So it's getting more stupid. Why would they now go to children's church and be teaching children? Or they are not males? So it's getting more stupid. Hallelujah. Our sufficiency is not in our gender. It's in our identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Our identity in Christ. Are you there? I know it's another thing. Even some women, when they do ministry, it's women ministry. What's wrong with you? It's either they are ministering to pregnant girls or raped people or prostitutes. That's a mentality. So, you know, why do you think that they are thinking unworthy? Why not have a ministry for area boys? Praise God. Say for women ministry. So they will waste everything God has done in Christ. They will even do a Maggi chicken cooking competition. But women, why don't have a great this is going to be wonderful. Hey, I get to cook. Hey, I get to dance. See where you are. Eh? They saw Paul, Philip's 7 daughters. They say, uncle. I don't even have a boyfriend yet. He just went rows of her, and they gave him tongue and interpretation. And they spoke to him by the Spirit. 7. That was all the 7. That's raising girls well. He say, sir, come and pray for us. I have this sweet husband. I come to meet me. Those are the things that hinder people. If a husband is not a spirit, what else should he be? Should he be animal husband? Ukubus, azukubus. Those are the things that hinder us when we gather. So you think that the man of God is the one that doesn't have a spirit husband? Or spirit, do you know how many spirit wives I have? Enough spirit wives. Some are ugly. Someone told me, I want you to pray for me. I eat in my dreams. I just did today. Maybe we should both look for somebody to pray for both of us. Bible says, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no questions. Where was Peter told to arise, kill and eat? It's you that has a problem. When I eat the things in the dream, if there is no meat, I don't take it. Because naturally I like meat. It's you that have a problem. You know, if an unbeliever eats in his dream, he doesn't see anything to eat. He's believers. I did not know sin except the Lord said, that's a lack of it. You will not know. They will have to tell you. You say, have you been eating in your dreams?
You say, I've not just eaten in my dreams. I have done party, buffet.
Sir, the Lord is saying right now, that is why your life is, that's why you lost your job.
It's true. Me too, I'm a buffoon. See what I mean? And you'll come up. All those things make you insufficient. The more you know who you are in Christ, the bolder you become. And you dare circumstances. Hallelujah. The more you know who you are in Christ, and know really that God didn't do those things because of what you did. Nope. They have been done and sealed permanently forever. Are you in church? Are you in church? I'm an able minister. So, when we come together like that, what hinders the flow of the Spirit of God are those things that are on your mind. Look at this. John 17. Before we go to John 17, look at, okay, John 17. John 17 first. Verse 22. Let's take it together. John 17, 22. Let's go. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. So the very glory in Christ has been given to us. That glory is in our spirit. Glory is the Greek word doxa. In the Hebrew is kabod. It means someone's weight. What represents a man's office, his wealth, his resources. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we behold as in a glass the glory of God. What do you see in a glass, in a mirror? Yourself. That means if I look at God's word, I don't see my inadequacies. I see the glory of God. I see what he has placed in my spirit. So if someone calls you right now to come and minister to someone, or you want to minister to someone, you just remind yourself, just look into the mirror, which we have done in Christ anyway. You just say to yourself, well, the glory of God is in my spirit. I have the weight of God. I have the wealth and resources of God. I minister those things now. Amen. So you override that feeling of insufficiency by acknowledging the sufficiency that we already have. Say, I have sufficiency in Christ Jesus. Say again, I have sufficiency in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays. What does he say? Ephesians 1:18. In the prayer, he says that the eyes of the understanding may enlighten, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance were. So there's glory in us. You know that people can call their company Glory of God Industries. They can call their house Glory of God Villa. But when you say, are you the glory of God? They say, God forbid that. Is unworthiness consciousness. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I am the temple of God. So what are the things that hinder us? Don't forget, we said in Acts 2, everybody in the church function in the things of the Spirit. Everybody. Everybody. Without membership class. Without LMA, amen? Without a series of teaching. Do you know that it didn't mean that they knew many things? They were still taught afterwards. So, it is wrong information that hinders us. Not because we don't have enough information. Wrong information. You have been told something. You watch what you watch. What's the kind of things that... You know, I always tell you that there's no information that is neutral. If you, in any way, give heed to false doctrine, it will have effect on your mind. Because you heard it. I said in the first service, that the longer you dwell on wrong teaching, it is going to be longer for you to renew your mind. Because you have been told. You have been told that some men of God have lost their anointing. There's no scripture for it. You have been told that some people, their ministries, there's no scripture for it, but you have been told. And every time people say that, pay attention, they never turn to scripture. It's always an experience. And I say it like this. That oftentimes what happens to ministers is not them. It is us. When we say people lost their ministries, it's actually us that stopped receiving from them. Based on things we think or heard about them. Nothing happened to that person. Are you following what I'm saying? Nothing happened to that person. So it's we failed or we stopped receiving from them. Nothing happened. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A man by the name of Judas, who was into pilfering, was casting out devils. Thomas, who can doubt, and faith, was ministering the power of God. Peter, who was as shaky as go-go shake. So really, the sufficiency they all had nothing to do with their personalities. Hallelujah. Have you not discovered that you'll be in some places, because they know you, you won't be able to minister well to them. But you go to places where they don't know you, and then they'll be like, you have fresh anointing. There's nothing fresh. It's the people. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's vital for us to know how sufficient we are. We don't go to a place to receive sufficiency. Now let's see a few things Paul mentioned. 1 Corinthians 1. That hinders the flow of the Spirit of God or the glory of God in gatherings. Don't forget, we are the ones. I'm sorry if you are hearing this for the first time, because we've been teaching it for a week, but I'm fine. If we are the ones that permit what happens when we come together. So we have to watch what we think and what we do. A man said this years ago, and it got my attention. He was quoting from Psalm 29 verse 9, that in his temple they say glory. He said, what you think of, and what you say, and what you think of particularly in a Christian gathering, has a lot of influence on what eventually happens in the place. And I found it to be true. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says that he found out in Corinth that there were contentions. Contentions. 1 Corinthians 1:10. There were contentions. And 11, sorry. There were contentions among you. He said, some will say, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I'm of Peter. He found some, the attitude wrong. 1 Corinthians 1:10 and 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. He mentioned the fact that they were, you know, they were having strife amongst them. They take some people to court. 1 Corinthians 3 says, you know, they had, you know, divisions and strife. Now, observe something. We're going somewhere. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Now, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan. Now, the beauty about this text, and I want you to see it, is this. Look up. Paul wanted to exercise an authority over the church. That a brother who was having his father's wife, which was not the real issue. I've told you that before. The basic thing was his attitude about it was repulsive. He was rebellious. And there was no sense of remorse. Paul says, you first of all, come together. Then you will now exercise that right. What's that right? That brother, we will not eat with him. Now, of course, that attitude is often done by the Jews for the Gentiles. That we'll eat with him. Later on, Paul says, we'll treat that fellow, you know, as though he's not in fellowship, but it's for the brother to come into realization of his bad conduct. It has nothing to do with who he is, is what he did. But the key thing is this. He said they should first of all come together. Then they will now exercise that authority. So that means our gathering, listen carefully, is to exercise our authority. Say, so you first come together. Now you notice something. One of the challenges he had with them was that when they came together, there was contention. There was strife amongst them. Look at chapter 11. Hold on. We'll get to that one. Okay, chapter 11. Let's see chapter 11. Verse 17. Let's read it together. Now in this, chapter 11 verse 17. Are you there? Let's go. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that when you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So what should we come together for? For the better. Watch this. So we actually determine what happens when we come together. So first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there be also errors among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest unto you. So really, we determine what happens to others. When we have strife and envy, eventually we hinder what happens amongst us. It's not God that is being stopped, though. It's ourselves. A fellow told me this in 2007, that he said that the GO of a particular denomination in Nigeria, said when he was not a GO, no, I think when he was a GO, when he first started, that they used to see him minister the power of God a lot. Said, I've observed that the things have just changed. I now asked him a question. I said, have there been rumors in the church about him? And he said, yes. So that we should ask all of you why he has not been ministering like that. So how did you know? I said, I knew from what you said. That when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Imagine if every believer, when we see ourselves, what should be on our minds is to edify one another. Do you know who have time to tell tales? If in my mind, I'm coming to you and I'm saying, I want Toby to be a better Christian after today. Do you know that I won't come and talk to you about demon? So those are the things that hinder the flow of the Spirit of God amongst us. The things on our mind. And don't forget, contention and strife starts in your mind before it gets into your conduct. You have to deal with that. So watch this. Say you don't come together for the better but for the worse. So look at 1 Corinthians 14. So we deal with sin consciousness. We also deal with self-consciousness. And we also ensure that there is no unselfish attitude amongst us when we come together. Because we know that there is nothing in the gathering, and in the place where we are gathered, that what we receive is what we give. So, the only thing that can hinder the things of the Spirit of God, listen to me, is not sin. If sin stops God, there is nothing He will do in the earth. Nothing. So take that out of your mind. Sin consciousness, a sense of unworthiness, and a sense of appreciation of what we all share will bring in strife and contention. A sin consciousness, sense of awareness, and a sense of lack of appreciation, pardon me, of what we share. And that's why there will be contentions in the house of Chloe amongst them also when they come together. Amen. I said amen. How many of you have observed that you function more effectively many times in places where they don't know you in the natural? Have you observed it? Why? Because what they will think of you will be different. They want to receive from you. Now imagine if we function like that amongst ourselves in the local church. That we don't put any reckoning on anything in the natural. I just look at you and I see yourself, I see you as an able minister of the new covenant. And I see you and I say, this man has something for the church. And I'm not looking at something that I heard, somebody said, or I saw you do. Do you know there will be a free flow of the things of the Spirit in our life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we cannot practice His presence in the midst of sin consciousness. We can't practice it in the midst of a self-unworthiness. Neither can we practice it in the midst of strife. So before Paul got to 1 Corinthians 14, he had first of all dealt with the attitudes that they carried when they came together. So don't jump to 1 Corinthians 14. There was 1 Corinthians 1:11. There was 1 Corinthians 3. There was 1 Corinthians 5:4. There was 1 Corinthians 6. And then 1 Corinthians, 8 and 9 can be taken away, 10. And 1 Corinthians 11. When you come together, it ought to be for the better, not for the worse. Then when it was done, he now said, now concerning spirituals, I won't have you ignorant. And again, when he started talking in 1 Corinthians 14, he still dealt with attitudes. So our attitudes allow or disallow the things of the Spirit. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14:24. Start to close here now. Before we go there, let's look at the book of Acts. Look up. Observe something. All the chapters in the book of Acts had something supernatural happen. Acts 1, Jesus went up. Right? Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, Acts 3, the miracle at the beautiful gate, Acts 4, they prayed, the place was shaking together, there was great power, Acts 5, Peter on the streets, Acts 6. Acts 6, there was a bit of the slowness, because Acts 6 1 says there was strife. But the apostles dealt with it quickly, and when they dealt with it quickly, they appointed deacons, and what happened? One of them, by the name of Stephen, now did mighty works. Pay attention. Acts 8. Philip went to Samaria. Acts 9, Paul was saved, and Peter also ministered. You know, Acts 10, the house of Cornelius. Acts 11 was where they questioned why Peter went into the house of Cornelius, and they dealt with it. And what happened? That the hand of the Lord was upon them, and many turned to the Lord. Acts 12, same thing, Acts 13. You notice that the only place, except when Paul was arrested, the only place where there is a non-existent power of God, non-existent, is Acts 15. Why? They were having contention. Why would they, you know, why would they said the Gentiles should be circumcised? And contention. So contention actually reduces the impact of the Spirit of God in our midst. It does. It does. Listen carefully. Anywhere, look up, I'm going to say something. Anywhere they practice the love of God, you will see the flow of the glory of God in their midst. Anywhere. Not that they talk about it all, because people can talk about it and they're not doing it. A lot of people talk about grace. If you offend them. No, I know by first-hand experience. If you offend them, leave that thing. You will not see anything gracious about them. So that means they are not practicing it. They don't believe it. So I was telling me, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. And the person will be preaching, you know, our sins and iniquities, he remember no more. Do you believe in that? You don't even believe in that scripture. Because when you receive the character of God, it will reflect in your conduct towards others. So, any church or ministry where they practice the love of God, you will see a free flow of the Spirit. There will be almost no struggle to flow with the Spirit. Because everything we have received in Christ is unconditional. It's based on His love. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. Now close here. Verse 24. Amen. So I walk in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I walk in love. I walk in love. I'm able to minister to others. There's a free flow of the Spirit in our midst and from me to others. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 24. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Amen. When you come together. 26, sorry. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So I say everyone. Say everyone. Now, is there any everyone here? Let me see your hand. What do you have now? Read it now. What do you have? What else 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 do you have? What now would you do? So, your role is not to have a tongue. You already have it. Your role is not to have it. You already have it. Your role is not to have a revelation. You already have it. Your duty is to edify. To minister it. Amen. And you cannot edify. That's why Paul dealt with walking in love first. You can't edify people that you are walking in strife towards. Amen. He said, amen. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let's just review a few things and we'll close. We'll close not to close. So if I'm going to edify, I will bring the church's attention on who? Huh? Okay, listen carefully. Let's be practical. If I come to edify you, I will bring your attention on who? Jesus. What can be found in Him? To the sick, there's healing. To the man who is still a sinner, according to the law, salvation. To the believer who is confused, wisdom and direction. It can come by the way of revelation of facts. Let me quickly add this. There's a way you can minister revelation. So can you have revelation and not edify? Yes. I'll tell you what I mean. If, for example, God shows me something, or I have a revelation, a word of knowledge about something someone did, I can just play the role of a newscaster. Just say, hey, so, yesterday, 2 days ago. And that's all. I've not edified you. But you know, I can tell you what to do about what happened yesterday without mentioning yesterday. And I won't mention it. When I was a younger preacher, I could stay in a place, and some of you have seen me do it many times, and I'll give words of knowledge to everybody sitting there. I can do it now. But no need. To everybody. I've done it several, many of you have seen me do it. But I kept growing. I said, there's a mature way to this. The most important thing is not what I'm telling you, it's what you should do about it. So I grew to minister those things by teaching, sometimes by the examples I will give. Amen. Many of you know what I'm talking about. I'll just go along the lines. I didn't know. I knew something, but I'll just address it. Because I must edify. 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 I must point the person to what is in Christ. There's peace in Christ. There's healing available. Amen. There are miracles, there are signs and wonders, there are provisions, praise God, as we minister by the Spirit of God. You know we are able ministers. When can we minister? When are we able? Should we come back next week? Should we go and pray about it? So we said, when we pray, we're not coming. If we pray at all, it is for us to be conscious of what we want to do. Amen. Prayer doesn't bring power. Prayer ministers power. Power came in Christ and it never leaves. Amen. And the power of God is like this. If you take, assuming we have 100 kilojoules or megawatts of power and I minister to you. Listen carefully. All the 100 megawatts goes to you. Even if what's wrong is just a headache. It's just a headache. Do you know what is still left with me? The same 100 megawatts. Hallelujah. The same one is still there. Amen. It is called dunamis. In the Greek, dunamis is self-generating. Then it has the word energy, always effective. Ephesians 1:19. They have hyperbole, exceeding. That is, it goes beyond the target. There is more than what it should do. It's more than what it can do. So, those of you when you finish preaching, say, pray to the man of God. Virtue has left him. When I go to prison, people do that, I just say, not to make my virtue aspect. Hallelujah. Power, amen, never leaves you, even though you minister it. Amen. Amen. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Your last failure to minister. Is it the last time you prayed for someone and nothing happened? What's on your mind? I gave a word of knowledge, the guy said, no, that's not true. Has that happened to you before? That never happened to you before, you are lying. Guy says, no, it's not me. So no. Hallelujah. Do you know that if you stay a little bit more, you will get exactly what you want to see? Oh yeah. No, it's not just a, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. That's not the Holy Ghost. You are the one ministering. And you will minister as a vessel. Then, for example, if somebody wants to minister to you and he doesn't understand English well, says things like, as I was waiting, you know, that's how you will minister. You know, some people, if they have been taught legalism and they have the word of knowledge, they will minister illegally. Somebody here, the Lord is saying now. That's how it starts. Sometimes you could miss it because of how you see things. But you see, people that get better are those who don't stop. They don't give up. The first time I laid hands on the sick in a massive way, it was as though I made them more sick. All of them went back to the hospital. It was as though Everybody I ministered to just became sicker. I never gave up. Well, I gave up at a point. Somehow. What happened that day was, as I laid hands, it was still bad enough that I would ask them, is there anything? Are you better? And the guy would say, no. What about you? Still there. Somebody will try to encourage you. He's going small, small. He's just trying to encourage you. So someone asked me, what did you just do? I said, are you an apostle? I said, no. Do you know the Bible says that only the apostle, Mark 16 was written to apostles. That he said, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. Were you laying hands on everybody? I said, I laid hands on everybody. He said, He said, Jesus said, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. How many of them do you know have demons? I said, I don't know. He said, there will be transference of spirits. He said, I'm done. He said, you have put yourself in trouble. 1992. As I went to the bed, I fell sick. I think 2 weeks. I just got a book by Charles and Francis Hunter to heal the sick. And I began to read it. Just reading the testimonies and exploits. I just got up from my bed. Said, I'm going to minister healing all over the world. And my body was still hot. I said, no. All over the world. And I have not stopped. There are some times like that. You'll be feeling hot like this. And you lay hands on the sick. And they'll be healed. That shows it's not you. It's not a sufficiency of self. Has that ever happened to you before? You want to lie? And you will. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So everybody, the guy the first time I gave the word of knowledge, he was unconscious. The guy told me, that's word of knowledge. I said, word of knowledge. I said, yes. I said, praise the Lord. And I said, that's word of wisdom. I said, that's word of wisdom. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. I'm sufficient of myself. I'm not sufficient of myself, sorry. My sufficiency is of God. I'm not sufficient of myself. My sufficiency is of God. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost song. Pray in the Holy Ghost song.